We pray. Heavenly Father, you have blessed our nation. You have given us many blessings and countless gifts. As we celebrate our Independence Day, we ask, Lord, to be reminded that we live in two kingdoms and we have dual citizenship, not only of this nation, but we are all citizens of our Heavenly Father, called by your grace to live under the wonderful grace that is poured out in each of our lives. And so as we remember and celebrate this day, help us to see the greatest gift of all, and that is the cross, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Amen. Tuesday will mark the 247th anniversary or birthday of the United States of America. It doesn't seem that long ago when we celebrated 250 years. And now here we are almost 50 years later. Canada marks its celebration on July 1 as it talks about its independence. If you read the As We Gather this morning, it was rather lengthy. But it was rather interesting, some of the reflections that are in there about our relationship to who we are as people living in a nation. It reminds us that we are to be thankful to God for our nation, for this land, for the people. But it also reminds us that earthly institutions are subject to decay and are disfigured, often by our own sinful nature. For the second straight week, I kind of threw Larry off. Our readings are not the normal pericopes for that particular Sunday that we usually use in worship. In the Old Testament reading, there is King Hezekiah. He, being challenged by the Assyrians, the leader of Israel, is seeking to protect his people from the tyrant in Syria. The epistle lesson takes us to the heart of what we want to talk about this morning, that we are not to follow the lies of this unbelieving world, but that we have a treasure that it belongs to each and every one of us because of what Christ has done for us. And then in the gospel, our Lord points out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees who bring about confusion between be a citizen of this world and our citizenship in heaven. And they challenge our Lord on that very basis. As children of the kingdom of God, we are called to live under the authority that has been placed over us. And Paul does a great job of talking about that in Romans chapter 12. But we are also to obey God rather than man. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Boy, what a challenge for each and every one of us. We are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. We are to test everything by the will of God. What is good, what is acceptable. And then there's that word perfect. Imagine that. In the world in which we find ourselves, what does it mean to be perfect? We know because of our sinful nature that we are imperfect and unclean, and therefore we fall short. And we see it even as a nation. Each generation has had to wrestle with what that means. To do what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you read the history of the founding fathers, There was a great deal of wrestling with the providence of God. Well, a number of those who were a part of those founding fathers were Christians, not all saw it in the same way. Yet, by the grace of God, they provided a document that helped us form a republic. And Benjamin Franklin would say, "You have a republic if you can keep it." The Church of God, of which every Christian belongs, is to transcend and be a part of all parts of the world. Our loyalty is to believe in who Jesus Christ is, what He has accomplished for us, that He died and rose again, and through Him we have eternal salvation. And yet, that's a message that transcends not only to our time and our place, but to the entire world. It is interesting to me in my ministry, I know that here we have two flags in the sanctuary. Traditionally, national flags do not fly in sanctuaries because they really reflect earthly divisions. It's interesting because most of the time of having flags in our sanctuaries comes after World War II. The practice of flags in sanctuaries became more popular. And I know that some churches even struggle with whether to have them in the sanctuary or not. I've had that experience several times in my ministry where we've had that debate. Where does the Christian and the American flag belong? And maybe you've had it here. I don't know your history. I also noticed that when you travel around the world, and I've been in many churches in many different places because the Lord has blessed me with the ability to be able to travel the last few years, I've never seen a flag flying in a church around the world. It's an interesting thing. I was thinking about that as I was preparing. In all the churches I've been overseas, I do not see flags flying in any of the sanctuaries. And yet, one of the beautiful things, we have these two flags sitting here, and if you were to come here on a weekday when school is going on, we begin our chapel by, first of all, a pledge of allegiance to the flag, the cross flag, and then a pledge of allegiance to the American flag. It's important for us to reflect who we are. We are citizens of heaven, but we are also citizens of where we are as people who live out in our times. There are no propers for this day, because this is a national holiday. It's not a religious one, therefore, there are no appointed propers. However, in one of my trips to Germany, it was during the month of June, during that week there was a national holiday. And when I asked my cousins about this national holiday, they said, "Well, we don't know what it is." Well, I looked it up. It happened to be a religious holiday. They were recognizing one of the saints. And over there, they loved having the national holiday, but they couldn't tell you what it was about, except that it was a day off. As we celebrate our national holiday we call Independence Day, it is an opportunity for us to reflect on who we are, not only as citizens of the United States of America, but also that dual citizenship, being citizens of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of the Christian community. We, living in this land, need to acknowledge what God has done for us. 2 Corinthians 4 speaks to us this morning. Consider that treasure that is in these clay jars. Each of us, I never think of myself as a clay jar, and yet this is what Paul is talking about. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Yes, think about that. as we live out our lives, death is always at work in us. But we have this life given to us by God. It's kind of interesting. The last month we've seen some of that. When we were afflicted in every way, crushed, perplexed, persecuted, all these things that had happened. In the last month, this congregation, we've seen members go through some real health issues. As we worship this morning, we have a member on death's doorstep who will be crossing from this life to eternal life in the very near future. The family has gathered around him as they face death, looking forward to his being welcomed home by his Lord. While it's a time of tears and goodbyes, it's also a time to remember and thank God for the many blessings he presents to each of us as we live out our lives, to rejoice and share in the confidence and the power of the resurrection. That is our dual citizenship. We, yes, are a part of a nation, a strong nation. And yes, a nation with a great deal of turmoil and uncertainty right now. And yet, it is to be a part of, that's a part of any time and nation that has been upon the earth. If you look at the Old Testament, you see there the struggles King Hezekiah was going through as he was facing that tyrant from the north, from Assyria. Or you see how Jesus had to combat the Pharisees. And yes, every time has its struggles and its things that cause us angst in our life. And yet, we have been blessed. We have been blessed because we know the message of the gospel. And so, we have these words. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe and so I spoke. We also believe and we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Think about that treasure that resides in every one of our lives. The good news, the gift that God has given us by sending his one and only Son, who makes salvation possible so that even when we face that last enemy, the enemy of death, we have a certainty in our lives that there is more for us to look forward to. Because our citizenship is not just of this earth. Our citizenship is the kingdom of God. And he loves us and surrounds us daily in that love. Yes, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, you and I are a part of that. As we live our lives, as we share the good news, we can increase those and have thanksgiving and give glory to God by our witness and by the witness of others to us. Celebrate our Independence Day, knowing that not only are you citizens of this country, but your citizenship is far greater. You have that citizenship of being a child of God, baptized in his name, called by name, and you have been called to share that wonderful treasure that is a part of each of our lives. Amen.